Well, it's my lot this morning to bring the Word of God, and so I'm going to do my best here this morning.
Amen.
We're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. I'm thankful for all of you that are here this morning. I know there's a lot of folks that are out traveling and so forth, but the Lord is here. And I felt this message on my heart a couple of weeks ago. And it's a simple message, but it is a powerful message. Amen. Exodus chapter 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go to verse 7 and verse 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and any other ites that were in the land. That was my addition there at the end. Praise God. Those are the two verses I want to work on here this morning. And just had a thought that I wanted to bring to each of us here today. Brother Greg, if you want to put a title on this, we'll just title this Beekeepers and Cow Milkers. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be a beekeeper or a cow milker. Praise the Lord. I thought about bringing a stool with me here this morning and my beekeeping outfit, but I don't think that would probably work. Amen. Let's be seated this morning. Praise God. Just going to work on the Word of God here today a little bit. We all know the story, and the children of Israel had been in bondage for some 400 years, and all they knew was slavery and utter poverty, and there's no pun intended in there. There was no hope for them. In their minds, there was no hope for them, and they could see no way out of their situation. 400 years is a long time. And sometimes we feel the same as well, and yet the Lord was very faithful to them, and the Bible says, with a strong and a mighty hand, the Lord delivered them and set them on a pathway to the promised land. And they had a promised land in their minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to look at that just a minute here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. We'll start with those first four verses. And it talks about the children of Israel here. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Praise God. Amen. What a beautiful story. Israel, if you please, if we look at it here, from the New Testament salvation experience, Israel had their own born-again experience in the Old Testament. They passed through the water and they passed through the cloud. They were born of the water and of the Spirit. It was an example for us. They were rejected out of Egypt. And when they were free from bondage, and they had the promise of a land of blessing. And Scripture says it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Somebody said milk and honey. Milk and honey. And I can only imagine what they had pictured in their minds of this place called the Promised Land. All they knew was Egypt. All they knew where their food was rationed to them. They had hard bondage. They worked hard. They lived hard. And, of course, they died hard. And along came Moses with the word of the Lord that pictured to them a land where instead of creeks of water, there would be creeks of milk. Amen. There would be creeks of honey. And all they would have to do is go down to the creek and eat to the full, enjoy life. Maybe they thought they would be swinging in a hammock, fastened between two trees, and just reach over and grab a handful of honey and a glass of milk anytime they ever wanted it. No cares, no work, no anything. And it was just really mere weeks, and they had found themselves at the border of this place called the Promised Land. And they spied out the land. We all know this story here this morning. They spied out the land for 40 days and found it to be a place of great resources. Great clusters of grapes, the Bible says. It took two men and two men to carry it out. They brought back reports, and we know the story. They said, surely it is a land that is great with resources. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, amen. We got Joshua here this morning. Praise God. Two of them said, let's go now and take it for our own, because God said we could have it. Praise the Lord. God said we could have it here this morning as well. Amen. I'm thankful for the word of the Lord. My, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. But there were 10 that came back with an evil report. And basically, if we want to just get down to the bottom line of this, they declared that they would have to do some things to get the blessings that God had promised them. There's giants. We've got to go get the giants. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And it's going to be too hard for us, and it cannot be done. Now let's look at verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because he goes on a little bit. He said, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are in examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so Paul, writing to the Corinthians here, said that what Israel went through was an example for you and I. Amen. What we need to understand this morning is that the Lord has led us to a promised land that is flowing with milk and honey. Amen. When we were born again of the water and the Spirit, we came out of spiritual Egypt, and we didn't just come out, we came out with many promises. Amen. Somebody could say amen this morning. Amen. We've got a promise. You've got a promise. You've got a call of God upon your life this morning. And we've all been given blessings along the way to the long-term will of God. And folks, there is a long-term will of God for your life this morning. Each of us have a different parcel of land, so to speak. Each of us have different potentials. But one thing is common to all of us, and that is that we need to get connected with God. I'm going to say that again. We need to get connected with God. You need to be connected with God and the will of God for your life. Amen. It's not enough to come to church. Just to come to church. It's not enough just to say that you're a born-again Christian, baptized in Jesus' name. There is a will of God for every one of us here this morning. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit here. Let's go back a chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. For we are laborers. Everybody said laborers. Yeah, that wasn't too exciting there. Let's say it again. Laborers. All right, we are laborers together with God. Amen. You are God's husbandman. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We won't get into that part of it. But we are laborers together with God. And the key word here this morning is with God. Amen. We are laborers with God. And so what does God do? His part of the labor here is God provides the resources. Amen. Praise the Lord. God gave us an old rundown building. He gave us the resources. Amen. He gave us Home Depot and Lowe's. Praise God. He gave us an opportunity to have bake sales and yard sales and peanut brittle sales and you name it, we've done it. Praise God. Taco dinners. Amen. Amen. Sister Glenda's getting tight on me here this morning. Praise the Lord. And we had the resources. And then when we look at this words here with God, it's up to us to get those resources and to develop them. Amen. To get the take the resources and then to develop them. Praise God. In Israel's case, he filled the land with cattle. Amen. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk comes from cows, folks. It doesn't come from the grocery store. They didn't have grocery stores back in those days where you just go and buy a gallon of milk and there it is. Amen. Here just a week or two ago, we were at the store and I was walking down an aisle by myself and I saw it was a cereal aisle. I don't eat much cereal. And there was the Special K saying, buy me, buy me, buy me. And so I got a box of Special K cereal. But it doesn't taste very good unless you have some milk with it. And so we got a gallon of milk, praise God. Well, Special K's gone, and the milk was gone. We just got another gallon of milk. Amen. We're blessed here. We are really, really blessed. But, and so the Lord gave him a land that was filled with cattle, but what the Lord needed was some cow milkers. Well, praise the Lord. I looked it up, and cow milking goes back, way back. And it wasn't until the 1800s, actually the later 1800s, that milking became automated. A good cow will give about 30 pounds of milk in one session, twice a day. That's about 60 pounds of milk. And you say, well, that's really great. We've got 60 pounds of milk, but you got to get the milk out of the cow and into the bucket. Right. Amen. That's the trick right there. You got to get it out of the cow and get it into the bucket. And so what we need is a bucket and we need a stool to sit on. Amen. That's how you do it. Well, that's how they used to do it. Praise God. And you sit on the stool and you start squeezing the milk. Praise the Lord. Well, it's just us here this morning. Amen. And I don't know how long it takes. I've never milked a cow. Amen. But I understand that it's a little bit involved. And it wasn't until the late 1800s that milking became automated. And then, of course, they built upon that. And automatic milking developed to the place where they could put the cattle on a rotary device. It was a big round thing that turned. And they had different stations for the cattle. And it would automatically turn, and it would go up, and it would get a hold of the cow, and it would milk the cow automatically. That would be really awesome to see. They have milking at the state fair. You can see that. Maybe you've already seen that. And the Lord provided the cows. Amen. Did you know God's provided the cows for us here this morning? God's given you some cows in your life. It was a land that was flowing with honey. Somebody said honey. And you know where honey comes from. It doesn't come from the store. Amen. If I had my nephew here, he's a beekeeper. He's got about 60 beehives that he operates. And he's got a beehive at the Sedgwick County Zoo. And he knows what he's doing. He's a master beekeeper. And he gave me a hive. He said, would you like to do a bee? I said, yeah, that'd be cool. Amen. And I got the gear. I got the thing, you know, with the mask and the suit and the gloves and all of that. And got a beehive. He gave me a beehive. And those bees were mean. Those bees were mean. And I told him, I said, man, those are aggressive bees. He said, no, they're not. They'll get used to you. Well, all you had to do was come out the back door of the house, and I had it all the way to the back of the property. All you had to do was come out of the door of the house, and a bee would come by and buzzing around and everything. And I said, no, those are aggressive bees. Well, I decided I didn't want to be a beekeeper. Amen. I'd rather go to Dillon's and just buy some from him. Amen. But bees will sting you. Amen. But if they're not aggressive bees, they won't sting you. He's got a feeder where he feeds his bees. And he's got a jar of sugar water. And he puts little holes in the lid of the jar and tips the jar upside down on this thing. And the bees come up underneath it and they eat that sugar water. And I went to his house one day and he was feeding his bees. And there was a ball of bees about this big. And they were just going like this. They were eating that sugar water. And he goes over with a bare hand and sticks his hand into those bees. And there's bees all over his hand. He said, put your hand in there. I said, man, I ain't putting my hand in there. And finally, I got enough courage, and I put my hand in there, and the bees just covered my hand and my arm. And not a one of them stung me. Little fuzzy little creatures. Amen. All of them are females. Amen. The females do all of the work. Praise God. Well, I thought some of the men would say amen this morning. Praise God. And they get along with each other. Praise the Lord. And they do the honey. But the hives are heavy. They require constant care and attention. The hives will split. They will actually decide that they need a new queen, and they will make a new queen for them. And half of the hives will break off and go start another hive somewhere. In fact, we had a bee swarm at our house here while back, and my nephew came and got the swarm and got him another hive. And they can split. They can be killed with sudden changes in temperature. They can get mites and other diseases. And yet, without bees, I didn't know this, but without bees, we would all starve. Amen. Because it is the bees that pollinate the food that we eat. Amen. Thank God for bees. But honey does not flow in a creek, folks. It's found in a beehive. God's looking for a beekeeper. A spiritual beekeeper. Amen. Somebody that's willing to get their hands dirty, so to speak, and develop what God has given to them. I'll tell you what the Lord has given to us. I'm just teaching here this morning, doing the best that I can. I hope you're with me here today. Amen. The Lord has given us revival for the church. Praise God. Yes. We get excited about that promised land. Amen. He's given us milk and honey. Amen. And there are possibilities all around us. Well, how are we going to have revival? We got to look around us and see the resources that God has already given us. God's given us cattle. God has given us bees. Amen. The Lord has given us the resources that we need to have revival. And I'm afraid sometimes we talk about revival, but we don't do anything about revival. Praise the Lord. We talk about growth in Sunday school, but we've got to invite and go pick up someone and bring them to Sunday school. Amen. We have Bible studies that have already been made in advance for us. What we need to do is teach a Bible study. Praise the Lord. And develop the resources that God has given us. Amen. There are possibilities all around us. Amen. The person that you work beside may just be an old cow. Amen. They may be a stinging bee. Amen. But God's put them there for you to cultivate a relationship and to win them to the Lord. Praise God. That's right. We labor together with God, and when we do, results take place. And before you know it, your cupboard's going to be full of honey. Amen. And your refrigerator's going to be full of milk. Amen. Well, praise God. You see, it doesn't matter what your parcel of ground has in it. There's something that can be developed into the will of God. If you look at Genesis chapter 39, Genesis 39 verses 1 through 4, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Joseph was a prosperous man. As a slave, he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and made him overseer of his house, and all that he put into his hand. Now, how did Potiphar see that the hand of God was on Joseph? How did he see that? Was there a glow around him? I don't think so. He was just a common, ordinary man like all the rest of his servants. There was something about Joseph. I think, and I've said this for many years, I think that Potiphar tested his servants so that he could see what was in each and every one of them. And there was probably an opportunity, a time, when the servants could go into the city or into town and buy something for themselves. And Potiphar would give them a coin and say, we're going to town. Here's a coin to get something for yourself. And all the other servants, they consumed it. Maybe they got themselves a payday candy bar. Amen. And I've been on a payday candy bar kick lately.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, don't y'all go buying me payday candy bars. I didn't say it for that reason. Amen. Maybe they went to the Mexican restaurant and got a meal. But Joseph, he had a different idea about life. And he took that coin and he bought something at a good price, turned it around and sold it, and made something. Praise God. He made something out of the resources that had been given to him. And when he came back to Potiphar, he said, you gave me a coin, I made another one out of here. I want to give you that coin back that you gave to me, plus another one. And Potiphar probably looked at him and thought, this is a different kind of a servant here. This is somebody that's different. Somebody that's got a different concept about life. Amen. And so he tested him again, and he did it again. And he started giving him responsibilities. And before you know it, Joseph had found grace in the sight of Potiphar, and Potiphar did not even know what he owned except he asked Joseph about it.
Right.
Praise God. You see, folks, there are resources all around us, and they are given to us to consume to a point, but they are given to us to use for the work of God.
Right.
There are people around us. There are things around us that we can use to bless ourselves and to bless the work of God. Amen.
Amen.
Because the Lord has promised us revival. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 verse 14 and 15. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. That would be you and I. And delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents. Everybody said 5 talents. So he got a pretty good piece of ground there in the promised land. To another 2. Everybody said 2 talents. And to another 1. Everybody said 1 talent. Amen. If we could just translate that here a little bit. Unto one he gave 5 cows. Praise the Lord. To another he gave 2 beehives. To another he gave 1 cow. All right, let's put that in perspective here this morning. And so the resources are there. 5 cows. Takes a little while to milk 5 cows by hand, I would just imagine. But he started milking cows. You got to milk them twice a day. And I used to pastor in Marshfield, Wisconsin, and that's milk country up there. And some of those folks would milk their cows. They got them where they'd milk them every 8 hours. So they were milking cattle 3 times a day, and they would have 40 or 50 or 60 head of cattle, and they would milk them 3 times a day, 7 days out of the week. Amen. But they were making good money. Amen. Well, I'd like to make the money they make. Well, here's the cows. Start milking. Praise God. Get you a stool and start milking those cows. Well, I don't want to do that. I just want the milk. I don't want the work. I want the milk. Amen. And so the scripture tells us here that he came back and he reckoned with them. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, he had 5 talents more. He had 10 talents total. And so in the process of time, He bred the cattle, they had calves, and they grew up, and a herd of five turned into a herd of 10. And instead of 50 gallons of milk, now he's got 100 gallons of milk, and he gives him back 100 gallons of milk. Amen. But there was a labor. He was laboring together with his master. Amen. The master gave him the resources, and he put the energy and the effort into developing those resources. To another two, he had two beehives. You can turn two beehives into four beehives in the course of a year. You can do that. And so you can double your output of honey. Amen. And it's a lot of work. There's a lot of folks that don't want to do the work. Amen. But they want the honey. And they want the milk. But folks, we've got to get busy and do the work. Praise the Lord. We've been hearing about it from Pastor Cowan. We're going to get busy. We're going to start raising money. We're going to do something with the resources that are around us. We're going to teach Bible studies. We're going to do outreach. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody help me here this morning. Amen. We're put here in this world to do the will of God, and the will of God involves working for God. Not just working for God, working with God. Amen. The guy that had one, he fattened up his cow, amen, and curried him every day and washed him off. He was probably a prize looking cow, but he didn't have anything extra. And the Bible says that he developed into wickedness and laziness. Amen. God didn't put you here to be wicked and lazy.
Amen.
God put us here to work. Amen.
Amen.
Work while it is day. Amen. And so my message for each of us here this morning is to find the will of God for your life and get busy and develop it.
Amen.
You say, well, how can I find the will of God for my life? That's a good question. And it needs to have an answer. And I just put down here, what we need to do is understand the nature of the will of God.
Amen.
In order to know the will of God, we've got to know the nature of the will of God. And the nature of the will of God, there are two aspects of the will of God. And that would be the general will of God and the specific will of God. The general will of God and the specific will of God. And you will never prosper in the specific will of God until you can master the general will of God.
Amen.
Are y'all with me here this morning?
Yes, sir.
We're just teaching here this morning. The general will of God has already been given to us. It's right here. You say, well, what's the will of God? The will of God is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The general will of God is to receive the Holy Ghost. That's the general will of God. The general will of God is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Be faithful to the house of God. It might seem like a little thing, but it's not a little thing. I'm going to look at another scripture here in a minute. The general will of God is to pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, it's work. Amen. Well, that's right. We're working with God. The general will of God involves fasting. The general will of God involves giving. Praise the Lord. Giving. The general will of God involves faithfulness.
Amen.
It involves getting your nose in the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't expect God to lead you into His specific will until you're ready and willing and getting involved in the general will of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Luke 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least. Everybody said least. Amen. It may not seem like a lot, but it is a lot to God. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Everybody said much. So we have two words that are opposite of each other, least and much. Amen. Well, I want to pastor a church. I want to be an Apostle Paul. Amen. I want to go, as my pastor used to say, I want to go set the world on fire with the gospel. Amen. And then after a few weeks, they come back. Praise God. They run out of matches. Amen. Somebody smile just a little bit. I want to be used in great and mighty big things. Well, praise God. That's a wonderful thing. We need to be used of God. And it's the will of God that we be used of Him. Amen. But are you willing to be faithful to the house of God?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, well, I've got bigger and greater things to do. No, you don't. Amen.
Amen.
What we need is just to be faithful in that which is least. The Bible says, he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So if you can't be faithful in prayer, then you're not going to be faithful in other things. Praise God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. You don't have to turn there this morning. But the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, everybody said work.
Work.
I thought that was going to be weak. Amen. Everybody said work.
Work.
For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And so we're not in the grave here this morning, at least most of us aren't. Praise the Lord. Some of you look kind of dead this morning. Outside of the grave, there is work. There are devices. There is knowledge. And there is wisdom. That's what we have available to us here this morning. Praise God. Some of you are going to go in the rapture first. I can tell that this morning. Because you're the dead in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's work. There's devices. There's knowledge. There's wisdom. Amen. Brother Deontay, what you might have at your disposal is a church card. What you have at your disposal is apartments all around you. And nobody told him to do this, but he's gotten those church cards and he's passing them out at those apartments. You may not see any results right now, but God is going to bless that. He that is faithful in that which is least is going to be faithful in much. Amen. Don't tell me you're called to do great things until you're willing to do the least things. But let's look at it in a positive way. When you do that which is least, God has a specific will for your life, a specific plan for your life. Amen. And it may include being a preacher. It may include whatever, Sunday school teacher, soul winner, Bible study teacher, a pillar in the church, a giver, amen, a giver to bless the work of God financially, amen. Praise God, because there's three things that makes a church go forward. You all know what those are. The first one is money. The second one is money. And the third one is work. Well, praise the Lord. We want our church to grow.
Amen.
Praise God. Revival is all around us like a swarm of bees. Hey, there's an opportunity right there for some honey in the cupboard. Others are going to run from it because they might get stung. Some folks don't want to get involved in the work of God because they've been hurt. Amen. Don't ever get to that place. Just work for God and do the will of God.
Yes.
Revival is all around us like many cattle on a hill. And he's just looking for somebody that will go and do the work of God. And finally, I want to read Luke 10 and verse 2. I hope you're getting something out of this here this morning.
Amen.
Luke 10 and verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. Praise God. We ought to shout about that.
Amen.
The harvest is great. God has enough people to fill this church and even more. There's a lot of cows on the... A lot of bees. Amen. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. 2 out of 12 are willing to go and fight and work and labor. The other 10 want to lay in a hammock between 2 trees and sip on iced tea and eat fried chicken. Praise the Lord. That somebody else fried up for them. Praise God. But I want you to know the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Everybody said laborers. Laborers into his harvest. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Has God blessed you with resources? There's things all around us. Amen. Brother Hunter, there's a piano right there. That's a resource.
Amen.
Abigail, there's an organ right there. That's a resource.
Amen.
Sister Stacy, there's vocal cords. There's a resource.
Right.
Brother Mike, there's some sticks and drums. Those are resources. How old were you when you started playing the drums?
8 years old.
How old was Dan when he started playing the drums? 7 or 8 years old. He is doing so good on those drums. He played at school, didn't he? Next time he does that, you need to let us know so we can go. Amen. We want to be an encouragement to that young man. Getting so tall. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Worst, I just want to show up at church and just hear the word of God and get a good feel good. I just want to come, and if I don't want to come, I'm not going to come. Well, I want to tell you today, sir, ma'am, God will never use you. God will never use you. But I want to be used of God. God gave us an old worn-out building, and this morning we worship God in a beautiful building. And there's another building somewhere waiting for us. This all took work. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. It took work. Guess what? The next building that we move into is going to take work. God's looking for laborers. Get ready, Sister Glenda. Get your recipe out. Amen. All right. I don't know if that's the direction that we're going to go. Amen. And if all I have is my car, I'll be a delivery driver. Praise the Lord. Whatever I can do. Amen. I remember spinning peanut brittle out. I remember having a contest, and we sold 3,000 packages of peanut brittle, I think. We went to Sam's and stood at Sam's selling peanut brittle. Praise God.
Amen.
But thank God we were able to build a church with all of that. It just takes work.
Yes.
Amen. I got a job one time to work in a basement. They were remodeling the basement of their house in a very fancy area of Wichita, high dollar area of Wichita. And I had to put in cabinets, and I had to put in doors and trim, and I built an entertainment center that was 15 feet wide and all the way to the ceiling with drawers and cubby holes and all of that. And it took me a month to do it. I worked for one solid month and I got the job all done. I made $4,000 on the job and paid me in cash. Took a month. Amen. And I took some money out of that for myself because I had to buy some equipment. But I didn't use a dime of it for myself. I put the rest of it, I think probably about $3,000, I put in the church fund and went and bought materials so that we could continue the work here. Praise the Lord. That's work. And I told somebody, I said, I'm probably the craziest guy in the world. I'm working to make more work for myself. There's been some days that I've spent 16 hours putting up trim in this church building. I'm not crying on anybody's shoulder. I'm glad I was able to do it.
Amen.
I'm thankful this morning. And I've got a feeling that when the next one comes available, there's going to be some of you that are going to help the pastor.
Amen.
So we're going to get in and we're going to work. Amen.
Amen.
We've got to have a mind to work. We have to have a mind. I'm not here just to soak in. Thank God for the good word of God. Pastor has been preaching awesome messages. Amen. One here just recently really touched me, spiritually really touched me. And I'm thankful for the word of God. We've got a great pastor and his family. God's given us blessings this morning. Amen. He didn't call you just to park yourself on a pew. But he called you to a specific will of God and to the general will of God. Amen. Can we just pray together this morning? Come on, somebody. Come on, lift your voice. We don't need to be encouraged to pray and to seek God. We need to have that down in our walk with God. Lord Jesus, we need you this morning. Put it in our hearts to work and to labor for you. Your kingdom is the greatest kingdom in all of this world, and we're so blessed to be a part of this kingdom of God. Help us this morning. Help us this morning. Lord, we're small, but we've got a big heart. And we've got a big desire to work for you and to do your will and your purpose in our lives. Lead us. Lead us. Lead us to the cattle on the hill. Lead us to the bees in the hive. Oh God, for you're looking for beekeepers. You're looking for cow milkers. Oh God, bless us. Bless the labor of our hand. And give us grace that we may do the work and the will of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.